All right, friends, I'm gonna hospitably mute you all so that Dave can lead us in this next section, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I wanted to mention one thing about the, and that is that as we get healthier, we're no longer so concerned about what others are doing, saying. We're not trying to convince them of anything. We're not trying to get them off our back as much. Our new focus has become, how do I behave with integrity and loving kindness in all my dealings, rather than how can I get all this to be better? Because ultimately, the only thing you can change is yourself. Any questions that came up during the breakout that you would like to ask? And it would be better not to go into specifics about family situations, but if you do have just a general question, that would be good.
I'm keeping an eye out in the chat or for a hand raised digitally if you have one, and I'll keep scanning as well to see if I see a literal hand raised in the video. But don't see anything yet.
Okay. Well, let's go on, and then we'll come back if people do have questions.
Well, I see two hand raises that just raised.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Sue, I just unmuted you there. You'd like to
Okay,
speak?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Sue.
Hi. For the how do I trigger others, it was like in communicating with someone else, I'm listening, and then I feel if there's a word, it's like word association, then I will speak up and speak on that topic. And then a friend of mine recently has said that that is something that really irritates her when someone else does it. Is it an irritant to speak on a common thread in a conversation?
I don't quite get the question. Common thread? You mean somebody says something?
I want to clarify that it isn't one-upmanship, although sometimes I do that with my family. But with just like a trigger, her trigger was something that she couldn't focus on, and I picked up the word focus and said, well, you know, I lose focus a lot of time when I X, Y, and Z. And so I'm thinking that I'm triggering her.
Well, it sounds like a healthy response on your part because what you're saying is, I've had that same experience, so I understand it.
That's what I hope to get across.
Yeah.
But I don't have
but
to
we
try.
We never argue with people's triggers because we never know their actual origin.
Okay. Thank
so
you.
Just kind of back off.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Judith? You're still muted.
Judith, go ahead.
I'm fine. I just want to comment on how helpful the breakout rooms are, Dave. And the one that I was in, we came up with a common thread of a mother-daughter issue. And I'm sure there are a lot about mothers and daughters. So if you want to say something about that.
Yeah, I know what you're referring to, and it's often the person of the same sex where there's special kind of issues. And we keep coming back to, let me go to someone like a therapist who can help me through this if the other person's willing. Because the closer the bond, like mother, son, mother, daughter, father, son, father, daughter, the more important it is to do the work, if possible, if both people are open to it. We can't do it ourselves very easily. We had one more question.
We've got a couple now, actually. So okay. Kate Farnady's next.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Okay, fine. How are you?
I'm great. We just had such a good breakout session. And, hang on a second. My kid's tea kettle's going off.
You're still muted.
Yeah, it's okay. We can still hear you pretty well, Kate.
You're
if you unmute yourself, yeah.
Did you unmute yourself?
There we go.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Kettle went off. So we had a great breakout session, and one of the words that came up, like, we were all talking about our fathers, I mean, most of us, and one of the things that came up was this, you know, you get to the point where you recognize the trigger, and you can, like, and for, speaking for myself, I can see it in other people. I can say, oh, this person has really triggered me in my childhood wound from my father, and it's debilitating, but now I see it. And so it's this moment of, like, oh, I'm finally ready to see it. And we were talking about this notion of integration. Like, once you see the trigger and once you recognize it and own it, like, how you start – the integration piece seems like a process of, like, starting to see it in all the places where it exists and starting to recognize your feelings of it and starting to see your own kind of toxic damaging behavior and how it feeds it. And so what I'm talking about is the process of really integrating that understanding about the triggers so that you can really start the healing path. And how, like, do you have some tips to help kind of facilitate the integration and the healing of the understanding of the triggers? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I really like that word, and that certainly fits. I guess what you're saying is, how do you go from knowing about the trigger, which is itself an accomplishment, to notice it rather than blame others for how they get your goat? We're saying, oh, wait, this is one of my triggers, so it's going to have extra energy on it. It's going to have an extra charge. And it isn't about this person who instigated it. It's picked up a lot of energy over the years.
And I have one more thing to add, which is that what for speaking for myself, like, I have really developed a habit of prioritizing taking care of the other people's feelings, like taking care of the triggerer as opposed to taking care of myself. So integration has to be me learning how, like, to have boundaries and take care of myself and say, like, I can see that you are never going to be able to stop blaming me, so I need to take myself out of this situation.
Right.
Help and support for me for boundaries and self-care and protecting myself.
Yeah. It's going to be fewer visits, shorter duration. And that's a very good point, recognizing that somebody may never stop doing this and that it's not going to work to try to change them. But the integrating also has to do with, how do I turn it into learning better boundaries?
Yeah.
How do I take care of myself better with these kind of onslaughts? You know, when the person before said, it's good to say ouch, and I certainly agree, but there are some people that you can't even say ouch to because they take it as fighting words. They take it as insult, blaming. What do you mean? I was being very nice to you. They just don't get it. As soon as you notice that somebody doesn't get it, you gently move the focus on to another topic. You don't keep pushing to try to make sure he gets it, because it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I had the experience of, I'm sorry, someone saying, I'm sorry I hurt you. I did it because you deserved it. And it was like, okay, I get it. You can't see this.
That doesn't sound like repentance.
No, it's not an apology. It's blaming. So,
yeah.
I got it. I understand now. Thank you.
Well, at least the people in this class won't be in danger of being triggered at all from now on, thanks to all that we're doing. I did want to go on to one more topic before we wind up, and it's an important one, and it's on page 62, if you want to take a quick look. It's simply recognizing that there are two other origins of triggers. So we're on the topic today of how to work with our triggers. And our last chapter was on sadness. I'm going on to a chapter about, for next week, we'll be reading the chapter about anger and finally fear. So next week I'm going to talk about the three feelings that come up. Actually, there are four. It's sadness, anger, fear, and shame. Those are the four usual feelings that come up from triggers. So I'll be talking about those next time. But for now, we recognize that there are two other origins of triggers besides what happened in early life. One is shadow, and the other is ego. Shadow is a word used by Carl Jung to describe the part of ourselves that's been so repressed, so disavowed, that we don't even know it's there. So an example would be somebody who's very judgmental, but doesn't realize that he or she is being like that. But this person strongly reacts when other people judge him or her. That's called your shadow. So you see someone else doing something, and it's really something you yourself would do or are doing, but this person's getting away with it. And you get very upset and you're triggered, but the trigger is actually coming from within yourself. You're seeing yourself portrayed by someone else. That's called a shadow. And I describe it more in detail in the book, as you know. And then ego is feeling competitive, feeling vengeful, feeling as if I have to be the center of attention, what we call a big ego. We said a little bit about it last week. So we sometimes are triggered by someone who is activating our ego indignation. And usually we come back with anger, because the ego is so defended, it doesn't want to show its vulnerability. The vulnerability is shown by sadness or fear, but the ego goes straight to anger. And usually it's an unhealthy anger. In your chapter next time, you'll see the distinction between real anger and the unhealthy, abusive anger. And I'll also talk about it next time. I'm using this little method myself. When something gets me upset, that is, triggers me, I try to see what's going on. S-E-E. S, shadow. E, ego, E, early life. And I asked myself the simple question, which of the three has been activated? And sometimes it's all three. But each of the three has a different kind of work. So if it's your shadow, you're going to have to be humble enough to admit that you're that way too. You act that way toward others from time to time. And this person is simply reminding you of a part of yourself that it's so hard to admit is there. And you want to be compassionate toward yourself for notice when you notice this. The ego reaction is something that requires the work of spiritual humility. Can I be humble enough no longer to have to be the center of attention, the one who's entitled to special treatments? How dare they offend me? All of that has to go out the window. And the ego's favorite sport is retaliation. So when you feel that need to retaliate, that's probably ego. And then early life is, excuse me, it reminds me of something that happened to me in childhood from one of my parents or older brother or sister. So if you're ticking down the list when you are triggered, this is one of our tools for dealing with triggering. So locate where it came from helps a lot. Is this my shadow, my ego, my early life? Any questions about this distinction? And I do talk about it in detail in your chapter, so I think you get the basic concept.
Dave, we do have 2 minutes, so I just want to give us a little timer reminder on there.
Okay.
There were a couple of lingering questions from the last session, or the last segment of questioning and answering, but if anyone else has one, also feel free to pipe in.
Okay, we could have one more question.
Okay.
Okay, well, so are we coming to the end of our time?
We are. We've got about 2 minutes, technically.
Okay, I wanted to share a poem by Emily Dickinson about the shadow. It's really easy to understand. And remember, this was written in Civil War times. So it shows you that people always knew about this hidden part of ourselves. I think all the words are understandable. Specter means ghost. One need not be a chamber to be haunted. One need not be a house. The brain has corridors surpassing material place. Far safer of a midnight meeting, external ghost, than the interior confronting that cooler host. Far safer through an abbey gallop, the stones a chase, than unarmed one's self encounter in a lonesome place. Our self behind ourself concealed should startle most. Assassin hid in our apartment be horror's least. The body borrows a revolver and bolts the door, or looking a superior specter or more. Judith, you're not on mute, you're muted.
Thank you, Dave, so much. Your wisdom is so welcomed by everybody that was here. We had 70 people here today, Dave, to hear you. I wanted to say thank you also to Dr. Tim Burnett. I don't know how we can run this without him. he's magic with those dials back there. I feel like you're in the back room here. I wanted to say that we will send out a audio taping of this on, I do it on Monday. Tom Hepp gets it up on our website. And so this, everything that Dave and you said today will be recorded. And then next week, our suggested reading is chapters 5, 6, and 7. Chapters on triggers of anger, fear, and relationships. So with that, thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it. Looks like the comments over here, people love the breakout rooms, Dave, too. It's really an intimate way to help each other. We help each other.
Work with the material.
Yeah, work with the material and then listen to you. And this seems like an intimate relationship with you, too. We can see you up close and personal there. All right. Anything else?
With all my wrinkles.
No, you don't have any wrinkles.
One person had asked if we might have if there's any introduction needed for the next chapters that we're going to be reading, or...
Yes, chapters 6, 7, and 8 on the triggers of that trigger anger, fear, and relationship.
When we talk, we're going to start with the one on sadness because I didn't get to that today.
Okay, 5, 6, and 7.
I'll probably do sadness, anger, and fear, and maybe not get to relationship.
Okay.